You're listening to
Hot Garbage. Champions Daily.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. We appreciate you joining us this week. Hopefully you're subscribing to the show on iTunes every Thursday. We welcome you. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Robert Ori to my Rick Fox, my dear friend Andy.
Hey,
Andy, you're looking good. You haven't quite figured out that.
I don't know what to say anymore. Yeah. I feel naked without my reggae blanket.
Yeah, the world is clamoring for it. I think I brought it up on the last like six episodes, but I miss it. I miss it dearly. How's
I'm
everything
tired
going
from the reggae game? Yeah. I'm doing good, man.
Good.
It feels like fall.
It does. It hit pretty quickly here in the Northwest this year. I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to lean in.
And like always happens, when it starts raining in Portland, I start listening to much heavier music.
Yeah.
And this year, the Ceremony of Sludge is in the fall.
Right.
Or it should be.
Perfect timing for it. Our guests tonight were the founders of Ceremony of Sludge, which is heading into its fifth year on September 16th and 17th at the High Water Mark. We had Justin Brown and Blaine Burnham. Justin is the bass player for Witch Mountain, also his own band Huger. And Blaine, who's a good friend of the show, is a drummer in Maid of the Cur, also in my band Hot Won't Quit. And yeah, these guys had a shared band called Lamprey that was awesome for 5 or 6 years here in the Northwest. So this year's Ceremony, like I said, it's on September 16th and 17th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Friday's lineup is He Whose Ox Is Gored, Holy Grove, Will, Disenchanter, and Mane of the Cur. Saturday, the September 17th, Serial Hawk, Drunk Dead, Hair Puller, Owner, and Huger. So two can't-miss nights of super heavy, super awesome music.
Go to that shit,
yeah,
motherfuckers.
It's going to be a blast. We're all going to be there. It's going to be a lot of friends, a lot of fun, and a lot of heavy music. So we talked a lot about that with Justin and Blaine and played some great songs from bands that are going to be on the lineup this year. So hopefully you all enjoy this episode of Hot Garbage. When are you going to be a frontman for a band, Andy?
Well,
you start a band. You know enough musicians now.
I just haven't found the right crew of like heady Rastafarians to.
When are you going to get like a drum major's outfit? I think that's something that should be your lead singer outfit.
Like a real Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, just something with some coattails and some buttons and a hat.
You could pull off the Sergeant Pepper look, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Do that.
I saw King Sunny Ade, and he totally had that fucking black military, dress military style outfit on.
Yeah, you could be like a militia leader kind of looking guy. Either, you know, some fatigues.
No, I think it was more of your, what you're saying, where it had like tails and a lot of gold and stripes. Sure. And
psychedelic drum major.
Or like a Gaddafi looking epaulets or whatever.
You know,
Michael Jackson already kind of stole that look.
That's true. I think you just take it more you do like a Middle Eastern take on Michael Jackson.
I think I can do that.
As a lead singer.
Singing reggae.
Sure.
I was thinking more of like just really like going back to my roots and getting like a nice thick black trench coat and growing the hair out long in the front and just singing some reggae.
Has it been long enough since Columbine that trench coats are okay again?
Oh, no.
For angsty teen, they're done.
They're forever scarred, yeah.
That's
they were already like looked down upon then.
Well, yeah, but I mean for angsty teens specifically. Are angsty teens allowed to once again express their frustration through trench coat?
Only if you actually really legitimately want to scare people, because it's pretty much over, I think. And I was one of those kids before Columbine. I was the trench coat combats, shaved, fucked up, weird, scary hair guy in Idaho. Yeah. So there
was
only
it was always intended to freak
dudes.
People out. And now there's, you know, some legitimate edge to it.
And like freaking people out is fun and exciting to an extent, but like freaking out and scaring are two different kind of things.
Well, what's the generation of kids that wants to freak out adults doing now? Blaine, you're a teacher.
Yeah. Well, that is weird. I don't know that.
What does the 2016 trench coat look like?
Is it those jogger pants?
No, it is not.
Is
but
it
it's really
EDM
funny.
Related?
No, I think it's a lot of trap music, you know? It's a lot of hip-hop culture.
What's it look like, though? Because I don't know any kids.
Yeah, what's the scary garment that they're wearing?
Very specific streetwear companies.
Yeah, and colorful shoes. You know, we're still rocking like the joggers with some crazy print. There's a lot of like Marilyn Monroe and Bob Marley. You know, they're really pretty Prophets. Iconic. Yeah, you know, like there's one of the things I see all the time is like either one of those two generally, or maybe like a Matthew McConaughey. But they're all just like blasted with tattoos. You know. It's like a remaking of them, like having all of these like traditional tattoos. It's, I don't know. It's weird. It's like this like blend of hip hop and I don't know.
Oh yeah, totally. I rock.
I'm fucking old, man. That's really what that's what I am reminded of every day when I go to work.
Where's your top hat, son?
Yeah,
I'm wearing.
I will say though, I have this new kid, and first day of school, he rolls in a black Nirvana hoodie, and I was like, we're gonna get along, dude.
I've gotten to where right now I'm wearing a light colored khaki short, which I feel like is pretty sad.
That's part of my dad here. To be. Really I wear, is. I don't know, about 50% of my clothing is like khaki cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Just because they're so versatile.
carrying things.
They have that rope on the inside, so you don't need a belt.
The last two pair of shorts I bought this summer have been elastic waisted.
I just bought and am wearing my first ever pair of tapered leg stretchy jeans. I've always been a more baggy, like boot cut, burly jean kind of guy. Really? Carhartts. Never anything stylish, you know, or fitting. And so, but I needed new jeans and, you know, kind of was like, maybe I'm
the slim string
past the baggy pants and maybe, you know, I'll find some pants that fit.
Something that lifts and separates.
And it's weird.
Yeah, wait till they start rubbing the hair off the back of your calves.
I think it's already been started. It's been about 7 hours.
Just be like real smooth.
Yeah.
I'm knee to hip, hairless, totally hairless. Well, Ceremony 5 is coming up on September 16th and 17th, one. Guys. Yeah. Tell us just a little bit about this year's version, because it's pretty dope. You guys are at the High Water Mark.
Who's playing? Finally at the High Water Mark. Well, Friday...
A lot of family bands and some new ones.
Yeah, we got some new blood this year I'm excited about for sure.
Who are you excited for?
Well, he's Ox's Gourd.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I haven't seen Drunk Dad in a long time, and I'm ready to give them another chance and like see what they can do.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh man, those guys are going to tear the roof off. They're fantastic.
I've seen them probably half a dozen times, and like half of the times I walk away like feeling really stoked. But I felt that way about Rabbits for a long time too, until like one day it clicked and I was like, oh, this band fucking rules, you know?
Well,
I'm waiting for that moment.
Uh-huh. They're also, you know, their music, if you don't like it, it's designed to make you feel bad, and it does.
I think even if you do like it, it can make you feel pretty fucking bad. They were a band that I kind of didn't get at first. I'm not a huge just noise that's not guitar noise, you know, and they had that redneck guy playing with them. But I loved it when they would dig in and really grind on some shit, because they're all just phenomenal players. I mean, those drums, dude.
Right?
Fuck. But the more I see them, and actually what sold me on them was I watched their KEXP performance, like a really nicely filmed and recorded radio show. And they just destroyed it. It was amazing. You know, every time I see them, it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, now I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited about those dudes. But I guess the lineup for Friday night, Maine of the Cur, of course, we're opening.
Blaine's band.
Finally.
And Nate's band.
I know. And then Disenchanter.
Again.
Have they played every ceremony?
No, they didn't play the first one, actually. Yeah. I just looked into it because I thought maybe they had.
I'm pretty sure they were there, though.
They were likely there. I feel like we met them not long after. But from the second year on, they've always played. They're pretty much, you know, house band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, you know, represent what the whole thing was all about really well, especially from, you know, from day one at least.
Right. And seeing the trajectory those guys have taken.
Oh, man. They were the last band to play Psychofest the other weekend. Luckily, that stage ended up running late. So I was able to run over at 2 a.m. Sunday, the third night of this shit, and watch Disenchanter after Alice Cooper. And a lot of other people did too. They played to a totally packed room. It was cool. A lot of Portlanders, but a lot of new fans for like all the bands, I think, that weekend. And but they killed, and they did things that I've I've been watching that band for 4 years, and they did things I've just never seen them do before. Sabine's voice was haunting.
Yeah. Every time I see them, I'm like, she gets better somehow. Better. You know?
They have a new drummer now.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been following that saga.
Yeah. 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 And you wouldn't know, judging by the set that I saw. He and Joey actually like really grooved hard and had really good dynamics together.
Yeah, I saw some footage from their Centaur Palooza show with him.
Oh, cool.
And I was really
impressed. Play that show?
They
played that show, and they played at like 5 o'clock on that day that was like 100 degrees.
Oh man,
they had a little
Warriors
shade
dude. They'll play anywhere, anytime, I think.
And they were out the night before at a show we were at, hanging out late.
Yeah,
so I'm impressed.
It's kind of what they do, man. Mm-hmm. And they're it was super fun hanging out with them down there and watching them just own. And they were like the last band after this epic, amazing 3 days of holy shit, that band's playing, these guys, you know, they were the last ones. They were the official, like, you know, the closing ceremonies, as it were, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody was super into it and stayed up till like, you know, 3:30 on the last 3 days of a row of staying up that late to watch bands and then kind of like closing it down after. And
that's awesome.
They threw it down.
Do you find that you stay awake longer at a show in Vegas being pumped full of oxygen and like inside with no windows?
Oh man, maybe. I mean, the only show I've ever been to in Vegas was one that I've played, and mm-hmm. it was in the same place. Because this all took place, the whole festival's in the Hard Rock Cafe. Mm-hmm. So for 3 days, and we had rooms upstairs. Everyone's smoking in the fucking elevator everywhere, man.
Really?
It was
rough.
Smoke
inside
still? Oh yeah, everywhere, dude.
It really is a carnival.
It's one of the last places.
I also heard there were a lot of vape pens there too.
There were. Most of it, I think, was weed.
Was like, I think everybody traveled with their pens because
you can.
Yeah.
No, and you know, especially given the fact that it was this metal rock and roll festival, so everyone was even tougher and smoking more cigarettes, and you know,
I saw so many good photos of like just like burly bearded metal dudes all hanging out at the pool and like their denim vests.
The pool was an interesting scene.
Imagine it to have
the whole thing. I mean, it's this megaplex. It's like 18 shopping malls, and it's, you know, a hotel and a casino and all these bars and venues and
crooked rundown
shop. It was like 85% to 90% metalers, and then the rest just your average confused and scared bachelorette parties and
bros. That would be pretty interesting.
I mean, there was still that element, a bunch of blue hairs at the slot machines walking around like, what does the world come to?
A bunch of angry guys with beers just smoking.
With their tattoos. Yeah.
Smoking so much that you think that's how they applaud the bands. So
yeah, there's
like
never been
smoking
so many,
is the new moshing.
So many cigarettes or like zinc-covered arms, pasty zinc-covered arms at those pools there. Yeah. And sun hats. A lot of punk rock girls and rock girls in sun hats.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
That's good. Take care of your skin. Well, let's give people a little bit of flavor of the lineup this year. I know you guys brought a bunch of tunes to share from this year's ceremony. Who are we going to play first?
Well, do you want to go like chronological, or do you want to go mix it up? Or
mix that shit up.
We were just talking about, so Maiden of the Cur, and then Disenchanter, and then Will. Holy Grove, and He Who's Ox Is Gored is Friday night. So I brought He Who's Ox Is Gored and Holy Grove. I don't know.
Cool.
We could play one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
consider
He Who's Ox Is Gored, because I don't know them. And
yeah, I'm also excited. I've never seen them before.
They're new to the lineup this year. So, what's the track you brought to share?
I've grabbed a bunch of stuff.
I'm curious to see what you did bring, because they've got a few different, you know, sounds.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to find one.
How did you guys come across this band?
I've just been aware of them for several years. I like them. And we kind of got to the idea this year that we were going to kind of reach out to some new bands and maybe someone that was on tour and have them headline. And they happened to be in the right place at the right time, as far as, I mean, we both did really, and it just worked out. And so they're stoked. And it's kind of like at the end of their tour that they're on right now with Retox and I think maybe one other band, I forget. But they're just really badass and fun. They're just really so fun. And that's kind of like why I was really excited to get them, because that's what this whole thing is supposed to be, you know.
Yeah, so the track I brought is called Cairo. Thank you.
Play the 4-minute one.
Got to embrace the groove, man.
Embrace that groove.
Yeah, sometimes metal bands just need that much time to find where the song is. And then rather than cutting off the other part, they just keep it all.
Or it's a journey, man. You got to get there, you know?
Or it's just so good right off the bat, you just don't want to give it up.
Yeah. You never want to stop.
For nine.
Think about those first Lamprey jams, man. We played the same fucking riff for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really, but it was a long time.
Well, Justin, you're a good person to talk to about this because I understand you've undergone a little bit of an evolution in your perspective. So you come from the school that a longer song is okay. You've gotten down in your songwriting past, you've been okay with a very long song.
I have been okay with that.
Is that changing at all? I think it is changing a little bit. Haven't you seen a little bit of the utility of that nice 4 or 5 minute song?
Absolutely.
Maybe that's just wishful thinking.
Well, I've
part.
Always felt that way too. I mean, you know, coming from like punk rock and other kind of music that I also listen to besides just stoner and doom, which are the ones that tend to obviously drone it out, you know, repetition.
For the record too, I was thinking about this today. We did write a 90-second Lamprey song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the shit.
And it was probably our best song, you know, cause it was the was point the and nothing but, you
is
know?
That the one you made the claymation video for?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's the best.
Iron Awake.
Iron Awake is the song.
It's a killer jam. 90 seconds. I didn't realize 90 seconds.
For sure. You know, the thing about long songs and short songs, it depends on the song. Some songs should be 7 or 8 minutes because maybe for whatever reason, maybe you're earthless and you can just shred for those minutes and it's all high energy magic. Or sometimes the purpose of this music is not to maybe get to the chorus, but to just like kind of meditate on and just get, you know, get into and just enjoy for a while. And, you know, the raddest thing about my favorite thing about Black Sabbath and all the classic rock stuff were just like those riffs. But a lot of those songs are only 4 minutes. And then when you're listening to it on the radio and then fucking Steve Miller comes on, you're like, damn, I really wish that song was 8 or 9 minutes more than it was.
Right. And Steve Miller, he's for only being like songs, a minute and a half, they feel like it's 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially when you're high on
of
nitrous.
Abracadabra. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, for you're sure. Right. But the short song, you know, it's one thing if you're trying to make this epic, you know, totem to the riff or tell some really long lyrical story, or if you're jamming or whatever. But as far as just like songwriting for, you know, rock music in general, whatever subtext you want or subgenre you want to get into, keeping it to like less than 4 or 5 minutes you can do a lot in that time. You can do just as much as you can in 10 times the length. And I like leaving them wanting a little bit more.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just why our songs are usually 2-3 minutes in my short song band.
Your short song?
Because Witch Mountain definitely writes. We like writing a long song, but we also like writing lots of different parts to the song. So they're a little more, they're more like journeys instead of just like Dope Smoker 2.0 or whatever.
A lot of riff storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An emotional palette.
That's right.
I like to have myself wanting more as a listener.
Yeah.
I like when you're like, ooh, I like this like 30 seconds of this song, and man, you wish they would just do it for 40 minutes, but they don't. They do it for 3.
Some bands only do that.
Some bands only do it for 40 minutes, or they
just
only do
just those parts of the songs for just those. That's their whole song, is that 40 second part that you're like, yeah, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oxus are pretty bad at that. You should check that band out.
Definitely. What we're going to do, we're going to try another segment. We're going to try round 2 of Drew Reads the Blues. And Andy's queued me up with a song from 1936, a blues number by an artist named Lil Johnson.
Lil Johnson, who after recording some of these dirty songs, quit the music industry and disappeared to never be heard of again.
Like so many in that lost generation. Mm-hmm. Lil Johnson is a woman, I take it?
Yes, it's a woman.
So this is a song by Lil Johnson called Press My Button, in parentheses, Ring My Bell. My first thought, I gave this a peruse. I think we're going to know exactly what this is about pretty quickly. My man thought he was raising Sam.
Hold on, right there. What the fuck? He thinks he's really giving it to her good?
I assume Sam is a penis, and he thought he had an erection until, you know, he met her, and then he realized what an erection really was.
I think she means my man thought he was really giving it to me, you know, like raising Sam.
As they say. I said, give it to me, baby, you don't understand where to put that thing, just press my button, give my bell a ring.
Yeah, so this is a lubrication issue. He's trying to go in too dry.
You think so?
He needs to find the clit.
It seems very explicitly to be a location issue.
Yeah, but she says...
But there's only so many places to put that.
She says to push my button and ring my bell, and then it'll be easier, is kind of the impression I'm getting. I don't know.
Come on, baby, let's have some fun. Just put your hot dog in my bun, and I'll have that thing.
This sounds totally about anal. I mean,
that thing-a-ling. Just press my button, give my bell a ring.
You're right. This is an early anal song.
Maybe the hot dog in my bun analogy is like the where to put that thing, because she doesn't want it just in... She wants it sort of along her butt cheeks, like a hot dog in a bun.
I think she's talking about baby steps to the anal. We were not all the way through the song, but it seems like, you know, press your button, ring the bell. It's kind of gentle, like, hello, I'm here. Yeah. And then we're putting the hot dog in the bun.
Yeah, land on my butt cheek like sideways instead of just plowing right in there.
yeah.
Set the table before you eat that meal. Ring that bell.
It's going to end up a chili dog. You just know it.
The third stanza, my man's out there in the rain and cold. He's got the right key, but just can't find the hole. He says, where's that thing, that thing-a-ling? I've been pressing your button and your bell won't ring.
Oh, so he's pressing at the door now.
Well, this is obviously what you were saying, Justin. This is about he's just approaching the situation in the wrong way.
That's what I'm getting from it. Yeah, yeah. Although that last bit, can you read the last passage one more time?
My man's out there in the rain and cold. Okay, that's very...
Rain and cold sounds like lube to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's out there. He's starting to get lubed up.
Yeah. Maybe he got the hint.
He's got the right key, but just can't find the right hole. He says, where's that thing? That thing-a-ling. I've been pressing your button and your bell won't ring.
And that's what most people call a woman's asshole. It's a thing-a-ling.
Was it a thing-a-ling?
In that time period, that was common vernacular.
Is this a clitoris location issue too, possibly?
That's what I thought at first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now I'm confused.
But everybody knows, you're right, Andy. Everybody knows that the butt is the go button. So I think that stems back to the late 20s and 30s. So,
but the line in that song they're getting to that really I love is,
well, there's a spoken part. The next part would be spoken, so I'm probably doing a pretty faithful version of it.
You're
when I say,
part.
Beat it out, boy. Come on and oil my button. Mm?
That's the one.
Kind of rusty. Spoken.
Yeah. Oil my button. It's kind of rusty.
It's kind of rusty.
We're definitely talking about butt sex.
Could you just not say the word butt before? So you just had to add.
Oh, this was
to
very
it?
Taboo. She disappeared after this.
Oil my button. It's kind of rusty. What is a rusty trombone? Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's filthy.
Anally.
That's when someone licks your butthole and jacks you off at the same time.
Sure, I see that. I see that. Just like a rusty trombone.
And they go while they do it.
Not wah, 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 wah.
If they know what they're doing.
It's like John Philip Sousa. Now tell me, Daddy, what's it all about? Trying to pinch your spark plug and it's all worn out. I can't use that thing. That thing-a-ling? I've been pressing your button and your bell won't ring.
So she just called his penis a butthole.
I thought he had the right key.
He did, but his spark plug wore out.
Yeah, like, okay. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Hear my baby all out of breath, been working all night, and ain't done nothing yet. What's wrong with that thing? That thing-a-ling. I've been pressing your... Well, okay, we get it.
Yeah, we get just pressing the button. But the best part is, at one point, she just starts saying, oil my button. Oil my button. Wow. Just repeating. Yeah. Get oil well, that I like rusty it. Button.
It's too bad that Lil Johnson disappeared and didn't go on to kind of a higher profile career.
Yeah.
Who was writing the lyrics of these songs back in the 30s? Were they like working with songwriting teams, or was this very much a personal message?
I think she probably wrote that song herself.
Were you born in the wrong time, Andy? You could have been
writing dirty songs.
A dirty lyricist for 1930s blues women.
She also wrote a song called Buck Naked Blues and Who Wants to Buy This Cabbage?
Who wants to
what
buy
was
this
cabbage in that metaphor?
Well, that's for another episode.
Okay.
We might come back to her. Bo Carter, who we played, also has
a lot of cabbage themed songs.
Yeah.
Who wants to buy this rotten old vegetable?
Who wants to heat up my wiener? Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Choke on my artichoke.
A little more on the nose songs like Warm Up My Wiener. It's a thinly veiled.
Yeah.
Is it even veiled?
No, he's just talking about heating up hot dogs.
It was a criticism of the pre-Vatican II Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Oil my button. Who else is going to be on the line of this guy this year, guys? We should play some more music after that. After I've read the blues.
Those dirty blues.
So just to recap, Friday is going to be Man of the Cur, Disenchanter, Will, Holy Grove, and He Whose Ox Is Gored.
Correct.
Excellent night of music.
Yeah.
Bangers. Whoa. All bangers.
Yeah, that's going to be a ripping night for sure. That's Friday. That's the 16th. It's going to be amazing.
And then Saturday night, got to help me on this one.
Saturday night, we have my band, Huger, our friend's owner, who are fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And people will soon find out. They are finding out now.
Finding out right now.
Yeah. And then we have Hair Puller, which are also incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, new band. I saw them a couple weeks ago.
You played with them a
couple
weeks
ago. Oh,
that's
right.
Yeah, High Water. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
At the High Water Mark.
This is why I got to keep track of every show that I play and see. Yeah. They all blend together at some point in time. But they were so awesome. They were so much tighter.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Well, you know, those first couple shows were their first couple shows, were the ones that we kind of all played together and were at.
Well, I liked them then. They were so good.
They've also, they're right now finishing up their first EP, which hopefully we'll be able to hear a little bit of. And I'm sure it's just going to, I haven't heard anything from it, but they're really excited about it. And they're not ones to be, you know, it'll be.
They're not to be trifled with.
I wouldn't
That's what we're saying.
Nope. Well, I got a chance to see Owner out in the middle of the Washington woods in a downpour, and it was amazing. So I'd like to hear the track, the Owner track that you guys brought to play.
Yeah, yeah. Nate, you have that? I forget the name. It's something about Beef on the Hoof, I believe. Calzone. What did you guys think?
I love that.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see those guys.
Now, how long have they been around for?
So one of my favorite things about those guys, they've been friends for most of their lives, I think, like since they were kids. And they've been playing together in one project or another in some combination pretty much that whole time, I think. They just got that chemistry that, you know, that's where you get that. They just know each other so well, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to see a band like that write a song.
How
quickly it comes together.
Yeah. Or record an album.
Or just someone, I'm sure someone brings a riff and just to see how quickly they jump on it and just understand collectively where they'd like it to go. I wonder how much discussion there is and how much it's just played out kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure they just touch heads and hive mind it.
I could see that.
And they all speak at the same time. And it turns into one voice.
They all do have like shaved heads or not very much hair, so maybe that's why.
It's for their head connection.
I think
you get a better
connection
with the smooth head.
At practice, they have like tinfoil hats they all wear, you know?
Yeah.
And they only speak in grunts.
Transducer mics wired together, connected to an amplifier. That's owner practice. So, yeah.
Love that idea.
They try to say as few words as possible, and like the six or seven that come out, those are the words. Those are the lyrics of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
How, Justin, in your songwriting, because you're in a couple of different kinds of bands. So you've been in Witch Mountain for about 2 years now, is that correct?
A year and a half, 2 years.
And have done various projects of your own and are in Huger now.
Uh-huh.
How does the songwriting process vary between those two bands? One that's been around for 16, 17 years and has kind of an established leader, and then one that is more of a collaborative process. Like, what's the difference there?
Well, part of that I'll have to let you know on, because as long as I've been in Witch Mountain, I kind of jumped on right away and we just learned some old songs, and then when we've been doing anything, we've been touring.
Right.
So we've just been kind of recently, like we just put out a single, you know, we wrote a song together for the first time, and we're doing that right now, kind of getting stuff ready for like future albums or singles or whatever, you know. So that's been a kind of a new thing, and a big difference is that for the most part in Witch Mountain, as far as the riffs go, the guitar player writes those. Rob comes up with the bulk of the riffage, which I'm excited because I love his style and I think there are a lot of similarities, which is why I was excited to join the band. So now that I've kind of gone through my maybe like probation period with the Mountain, we figured out it was going to work and I was going to stick around and, you know, write some new stuff. Now we're kind of all bringing stuff to the table. And it's really cool. You know, there's definitely a vibe and a overall, I guess style that we want to stay more or less within. But the new stuff has way mathier parts than they've been doing lately. You know, they used to do a lot more of that stuff way back in the day.
And that's your influence?
No, I think that's just what we all kind of want to do. Like, we're all pretty good. And there's kind of I won't say there's like a formula, but there's a sound that's definitely Witch Mountain, which is, been the guitars and the drums throughout the whole thing. And each iteration is kind of its own different band to some extent.
So when you find out that you have a little bit of an opportunity to be writing and bringing your own kind of creative voice to it, are you very much aware of that sound as you're preparing a song? Or
not
if you
really
come up with a riff that you like, is it clicking your mind whether it's
actually
Witch Mountain song?
It's actually really easy because what I do is like kind of all my other projects, I don't really involve weed at all. Like with Huger, I kind of have sober practice. It's pretty mathy and decide, like, we just try to, that band just tries to write songs a little bit harder than we can play.
All the songs are about how much you hate smoking weed when you're playing.
Oh, man. Yeah, if we bother with lyrics at all. But with Witch Mountain, it reminds me way more of like my kind of natural go-to, which is to like smoke a little bit of pot, go in my garage or room or whatever, and just kind of jam on some bass lines. And that's way more what like Lamprey was about.
This guy.
So really.
And just a riff writing machine. He would show up to every practice with like 10 new riffs. Like, I played my bass for 3 hours the other night.
Like, I like to get high and play music. And I like kind of just letting whatever comes out come out without putting too much thought in it. Just like I like to find your natural kind of groove. And that's what, you know, Lamprey was very 70s, Black Sabbath and Stonery inspired. And so is Witch Mountain. So that's kind of just a natural place for me to come from. That's just what's fun to play. So with other bands, I put a little bit more, and to be fair, you know, we're still, we haven't really finished anything beyond what's recorded. We'll see what shape those take, you know, but as far as, what I bring to the table with other bands, it's maybe a little bit less, felt and a little bit more thought, you know, because I mean the other bands are just kind of mathy and it's fun.
Yeah.
And we try to be a little bit weird or whatever on purpose, and it's a project, you know.
Right.
And we're only two instruments too, so we kind of try to maximize that and do everything we can on those two instruments. And it's a lot of kind of kitchen sink for us and really dense short songs. So that we don't have to do that shit for longer than, you know, 5 minutes at a time because we run out of breath.
Now, Blaine, when you guys were playing together in Lamprey and Justin would be the riff machine, how difficult was it for you to learn those ones? Because I know we have a little contest about tripping each other up in terms of the riffs that we read. Justin a confusing person to follow?
No, Justin was just really good about sort of watering down some of this more complicated stuff.
When I had to, but we didn't always have to. And also, you're the fastest mirror learner kind of guy that I've ever played with, where I can just show Blaine a riff. And because I'm dyslexic and idiotic when it comes to that, like learning, that's the other thing about Witch Mountain. I've never had to learn anyone else's riffs before, except for the brief time we played in Glaciers. And that was like four songs or something, but I've always kind of been the primary, at least music writer, right. Like, melody wise, riff wise. I'm not a composer or anything. But you learn that shit so fast. I have to turn it around and think about it, maybe write it down. But you can just show him once. Wait, one more time. Boom, got it.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think it's
maybe
funny
because we were both playing bass, and you guys have to count strings.
I want to throw this out there too. Some of the songs that you've written that have tripped me up were very early when you were a bass player at all,
right?
And you weren't confined to like any sort of formal knowledge or background of bassing.
I was unrestrained
and just writing very bizarre right hand stuff that just was fucking impossible.
Those are still my favorite. I hope that doesn't go away. I want to get back to that. I just like that weird, a little bit of a
I think
hitch.
You know too much now, though.
Yeah.
I think the magic is gone, yeah. You know?
The only way you can get that back is just stop practicing.
Well, that's good. I'm on that tip. It's been about like 10 days since I've been.
You're already halfway there.
Well, Justin, you talked a little bit about Huger, and that's, you know, kind of a second project of yours. Let's listen to a little bit right now, because you guys are going to be playing on the 17th.
Yeah, we're opening up Saturday night, which will be fun, because every Huger show, I think we played four shows or three shows, counting Micapalooza, and every single show has been with at least owner, if not owner, and hair puller. So we're doing
it's a great lineup
for a ceremony.
It's pretty, it's loud.
The thing with Ceremony is it's kind of like me and Blaine's favorite friends bands, pretty much, you know?
I mean,
and
at least in its genesis, that is.
I think it has been every year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, we've created this family.
We always try new stuff.
But But the first year, it was the same sort of thing where it was like,
well, the
we
first
were
year,
playing
we,
with
those
towers.
Were the only bands that we could play with. Those were the only bands that would play with us, which is kind of why we started doing it. We wanted better shows than we were getting. We were having super fun shows right off the bat. This town's pretty easy to do that in. But you know, we want something a little bigger and.
Well, the lineup's always great. It's always two excellent nights. Are you finding that there is a little bit more like brand awareness in the music scene here? Is there some like anticipation for Ceremony that you've seen and noticed? Because it's always full too. Like, it's always a great crowd. But is there an energy now?
I mean, honestly, Jay and I were kind of on the fence if we were going to do it this year. And
we weren't going to.
Yeah, we kind of decided that we were going to shift gears and do something different.
We were also kind of, have always done it in March, in the spring, and we were both really busy at the time.
And
so we just kind
of rolled around, and we had a bunch of people sort of hit up the page and us up, and we were like, what's up with Ceremony? Is it happening? And we were like, shit, people we should do this thing. We'll book it for September.
They called you out of retirement. You heard the echoes.
I wouldn't say retirement. We just had a different. We're gonna try to do something a little different, which I think we're still gonna pursue in the future.
Well, it's always
the
like
Ceremony
moved places
is such a good
and
fixture, and like we've built such a good community around it that I think that it's something that
there's definitely a family, like a Ceremony family, which is why a bunch of the same bands always play, which is why my band's even playing.
I don't know.
Felt like we five is a good number, so at least we can say we've made it this far too.
And every
I always
year,
thought
every
about
year
doing
I feel
five.
Like it's been better. I don't know.
The other interesting thing about answering your question is that I don't know because I missed last Ceremonious Sludge. I was gone for four. Because about right after we booked everything and planned it and it was all solidified, I joined Witch Mountain. We went on that tour kind of right off the bat.
That's right.
We left, like, in fact, my first show was the same night as the ceremony. But it was awesome because I, you know, was in touch with everybody and it was really cool. And maybe, I mean, maybe I should not go this year.
No, no, I want you there, man.
Yeah, it stung a little.
You're in the parking lot only.
To miss it. Yeah. No, I just kind of felt like, and also we just started talking about it and we got excited. And before when we talked about it, we didn't really get excited. It seemed like more of a chore. And then it seemed like, oh, we missed that. It was fun. Well, it's not too late.
It is. It's never too late.
So we just kind of threw it together and it was really, really easy for the most part.
Well,
we booking, got him eventually.
Yeah, exactly. We Justin persevered.
Oh, we all did. You know, we have help, too. So, but yeah, it's pretty easy. It's, you know, the thing with ceremony that someone pointed out to me that I never really thought of is that it's always been, you know, yeah, they're good bands, but they're also just local bands that you can kind of go see in a given month or two around town. But we just kind of got a bunch of our favorites, at least, on the same nights and gave it a name, you know.
Right.
And that's fun.
Yeah, it's also a great place if you're new to the Portland metal scene and really want to check out some awesome doom bands. Well, and awesome, like stoner rock, sludge stuff,
and more. I think festival. Like every year we mix it up a little bit more too. Because honestly, you know, the word sludge.
I know. Looking, you know, back,
I was kind of late to the game, realizing that's also a very specific genre. I just always thought of that as anything kind of nasty and heavy and a little, you know, just heavy.
Well, I think so, it started out as a little bit like of the traditional kind of sludge. There was some riff heavy, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much like our dream Lamprey show. At right. The time. So that's why.
Yeah, you know. And it's diversified a ton since then. Of course, you know, then I said that you guys had like heavy voodoo and on at the first one, and that's
like Ancient Warlocks. Yeah, the second year.
It's always been a good mix. It's a great weekend of music, heavy music. Yeah. And let's put a little bit of Huger, Justin, your band, because they're part of that so variety long. That's on the lineup this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a particular track that you wanted to share?
You know, Blood is probably the best one, if you got that, Nate.
I think I grabbed meat.
I brought it, too. So, what did you bring?
I picked meat.
Did you say you brought meat?
Which one?
Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, Dead Meat.
Dead Meat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's my favorite one. Okay. But you know, it's your band, dude.
Yeah, that's the one that I have to do like one line of clean singing on. And before this band, I'd never done vocals, and we recorded this the day after we kind of figured out how we were going to try to do vocals. I like it. It's fun. Now I don't want to. I never want to not do vocals again. You know, I think it's really cathartic to just scream your fucking self sick. You know.
All right. Seriously. Don't want to cut you off. What were you saying?
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
He was going to say, that's all I had to say.
And that is the end of that story. Well, here's some Huger. We'll check it out.
How often people mistake your band for Hugger?
Well, not very often, because most people don't know about that band. And the ones that do, you know, most of you were there, actually. Andy, you were missed. But, you know, we played this show out in the woods at our friend's property that he mm-hmm. does every year. And that was kind of like, I think that was our first show.
Well, I think it was...
Second one.
Yeah, because you guys played Brecken's.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, and after one of our songs, all you fuckers started chanting, Hugger! Hugger! And it was awesome. So it hasn't really happened very much yet, but we've only played three or four shows, and, you know, we take kind of long breaks, because Jeff hikes the PCT, and I go on tour. But, you know...
I'm excited for some new songs.
We'll have definitely one new one for sure. But it's awesome. I think we'll probably play that one first. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
So you relate to the vocal game.
It's so fun once, and I still get to the point where I kind of want to puke and I get a little bit of a headache every time.
You ever get lightheaded and you're going to fall over?
A few months before I started this band, actually, I was doing other stuff and I thought I was thinking about taking, I did take vocal lessons. I was thinking about vocals for the first time, like, fuck, I'm going to have to do it. So I took some vocal lessons by this dude who is awesome. He's since moved away, so he doesn't teach here anymore, but Wolf Carr is a badass. And he taught me, I took a bundle of like five lessons. And it was,
hold on, did you say Wolf Carr?
His name is Wolf Carr, and his mom is a renowned vocal coach, and they sing together and do lessons, and they did a DVD, The Art of Screaming, which is all about
technique
and screaming. That's the That's nice. Well, that's Wolf's mom, and I think he's involved with that, too. But he is awesome. And he used to live a few blocks from my house, but he moved away, I think. But he gave me these lessons, and he's very anatomy-focused. And so I kind of learned a few things before I tried it, and I think it helped a lot. Like, just how to stand and how to breathe and a few kind of ways to open up and always open your mouth more. And just learned a few things that seemed to really, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, and that helps.
Did you ever get, have you gotten to the place in the scream where it's not in your throat and you're kind of pushing it with air and controlling it that way? Because I feel like that's the only way you can sustain it over a long period of time.
I will say my throat no longer gets sore, although I do kind of feel it a little bit the next day or something. It's a little tired. I'll get a little tired still. So I'm totally doing it wrong, I'm sure, as far as that part of it goes. But I also don't do it very much, and starting to try to do a little bit more, not quite so distorted. Like, maybe a little, we're trying to get a little bit more like melodic vocally. At least I am.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to that point when you're screaming and it sounds so good and you're like, who's screaming? That sounds fantastic.
That actually happened the first time I turned the PA up.
That's me.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Because the whole time I thought I was Jeff, and he thought, you know, he heard me and thought it was him, and we had it backwards.
Wow.
And I found out, oh, I'm the good one. I'm the lead screamer.
What a pleasant surprise.
And Jeff, you sound fantastic. Oh, my God. That's just how I would have done that.
I've always loved Jeff's voice until I learned it was mine.
Yeah. I mean,
it's wonderful.
Like an angel.
That's just a gift you give yourself. Yeah. You're just like, man, turns out.
That's like when you, the stranger, like when you make your, you sit on your left hand until it's numb, and then you jerk yourself off. It's exactly the same kind of thing.
It is. It's
like, the vocal stranger.
Yeah. Whispering to yourself in the night. Oh, what a treat. What a vocal treat. Blaine, you've got some screaming in you. I was always impressed with the Lamprey vocals that you, your Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Blaine can fucking roar, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got lungs.
It was it's funny. I kind of dove back into Lamprey, and I was really happy to hear the progression that I made from Ancient Secrets to Three, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of learning by just blowing my throat out, though. Maybe by the end of a show, sometimes it would be over.
Well, I sang in a band in college, and I wasn't even like really screaming or being that hard, like in a technique way. Uh-huh. But I was just so bad at doing it technically that I would have a sore throat and lose my voice every night we did a show.
Oh, wow, really?
And I never do that anymore. Like, I did take vocal lessons in college, and I won't say like a ton of things stuck, but you just kind of learn about enough to keep it out of just like straining your vocal cords all the time.
Yeah.
And it's become much, much easier for me over time, which is a fun progression, but it's not like learning an instrument for me. I don't know how I've gotten better or how to get better still. It's just one of those things that kind of you feel your way through,
you know, and
do a lot of shitty vocal parts. I found,
and you guys, Justin's saying that he really likes singing, and I like would love to go the other way, and I'd just go back to just being the bass player. You know?
That is nice too.
Worry about playing and singing.
I love to sing, and it's fun to learn how to do them at the same time live. But I'm never happy with my vocal parts. I wish I just had like more of that machine in me. I can just dial in my range first time and just like sit in that pocket. Otherwise, I'm like you. I'd like to just jam,
man,
from now on.
That's where you got to be though to create good art. You got to strive to be better and not like what you're putting out. If you're just totally content in what you're putting out, you're going to make shitty stuff.
Well, it's like you said, Justin, about, I think it was about Huger, that you try to write songs that are just a little bit better than you.
A little
you
out of our wheelhouse as
right.
far as.
So you're never quite comfortable. It. I mean, you're always pushing yourself that much further.
Yeah.
But then you can go back to those old ones and just rock the fuck out of them.
Because
they're just like,
you
they're just
better.
Built
it's
into
just,
your body.
Part of it, you know? Yeah.
Blaine, we've talked about this before, but I still want to. As I'm still a young bass player, I've only played bass for 3 years. I really can't wait till I get that point where my just whole body is independent of everything, and I'm just shredding on stage.
Do you
just getting loose?
You don't feel that though with some of like the first
sometimes
the first song.
Yeah, you know, some of our very earliest songs are so simple that now I get there and I don't think about them.
I some of the, especially with Made of the Cur too, I can catch myself thinking about something entirely different, you know, like what I'm having for dinner the next night, or like what I got to do after practice. And then I'm like, how did I get to the second verse of the song already? I don't remember making any of the changes. There's so
run a lot of mental errands during that time.
Yeah, or a lot of the times that I will admit, it's like, how can I reorganize the gear in here to make more space? Well, that's what I'm thinking about, and somehow
that's the same as learning to sing and play at the same time. You'd have to bump out the mental organization and devote that space to singing.
Yeah, it's proof of muscle memory that you're using that. And you can wander.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, at some point in time, I think it just comes with knowing the material inside and out, where you just know that song. You don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love not thinking. So that's the thing. If I can not think and sing, I would never not want to sing. Because when it's there, I feel like I'm really rocking. That's when I'm singing and playing.
Okay. Awesome.
Blaine, what's another ceremony band you brought some tunes for?
Well, I brought some Holy Grove, some Disenchanter, and Cereal Hawk. We should definitely play
Cereal Hawk.
Because that is, I mean, those dudes, I was thinking about that. We've known those guys for such a long time, and they've played Ceremony a bunch of times, and they're like one of my favorite bands to see live, because they are just crushing.
Now, they're a Seattle band, correct?
Yeah. We met them very early on in Lamprey.
Yeah, they just out of the blue hit us up and invited us to play Seattle with them, and then we had them down. And didn't they play our record release for one of them, like Bird and Beast, or... I remember some really fun show with
It was that flyer right there. That was their tour. Really cool flyer with a cool snake on it, and they are smart. They laminated it.
Yeah,
they knew their market.
Those guys work so hard too. They're always on tour, and they've had a couple of drummer changes, and nothing has like slowed those dudes down.
Yeah, but I love that Justin's back in the band.
Yeah,
I mean,
every drummer they've had
is awesome. They always have good drummers.
Even with Paul, like Paul was their first drummer, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Paul was pretty kick-ass too.
Yeah, he was a good drummer, but like
Justin fits the band really well, and he fucking brings it.
Yeah, man.
One of my favorite drummers to watch, actually.
Well, they're going to be on September 17th, the Saturday of Ceremony.
They're headlining that night, which is really awesome that it worked out. They were like pretty much the first band that we hit up, and you know, it was weird because this year we actually started about 6 months before, like all the planning for Ceremony, about 6 months before we usually do, at least, right?
Yeah.
And so, man, why didn't we do that before? Just get it done ahead of time instead of the week of. You learn as you go. 5 years it took us to learn that.
Yeah.
Because we hit them up pretty early on, and they tour a lot. They're really trying. They're pushing, you know. And so they thought it looked like they were going to be gone, and then it ended up working out. So that was a relief.
Excellent. Well, let's check out some Cereal Hawk.
Message to his
Yeah, those guys are just punishing live. So much gear, and
I think it really carries across in their records too. At least on all of them, really.
Yeah,
Buried in the Gray or whatever it is pretty punishing. You know how sometimes you just lose that on the album. You don't hear
all the punishment.
800 watts of the guitar amps, but you do in the room. But I think their records definitely get that across.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. They're one of my favorites for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge weekend. Want to thank you guys for coming on and talking about it. September 16th and 17th this year. It's a Friday and a Saturday night at the High Water Mark here in Portland, correct?
Correct.
All the details, correct? Yeah, two awesome nights of heavy music. Everyone should come out. Any word on ticket price, anything like that? Or where can people get information about it this year?
I'm pretty sure I heard $100 a night. Yeah.
Right. That's what we're hoping to pull in to pay all the bands. We're doing it $10 a night. There's five bands, and
worth every penny.
Some of them are on tour per night. So $10 at the door, and we're not really gonna bother with tickets or wristbands or anything like that. It's pretty simple, you know. Keep it simple, stupid. That's our motto this year.
Whoa.
The KISS theory, as my dad would always say.
Yeah.
Sweet. So that's September 16th and 17th, the High Water Mark. It's going to be awesome. Justin, Blaine, thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, anytime. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We appreciate you joining us, however you're doing so, and we hope you continue to do so. You can download this episode and others like it every Thursday on iTunes, and go ahead and subscribe. We would really, you know, really warm the cockles of our heart.
Yeah, I don't even care if you just subscribe and don't even ever listen to our show.
Just bury it and download
it. Subscribe
it every week.
Click the download button. It.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And even then, we'll consider you one of our oldest and dearest fans.
And if you don't, we don't love you anymore.
But we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us directly at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail. And we'll just read every word of your email aloud. Please. Please reach out to us.
Please.
It's so lonely out here. Andy, why don't you take us home, dog?
Oh, man. I thought I'd keep it heavy tonight and stick with something like that. So here's a band that I've been digging on lately from Seattle called Dope Throne.
Nice.
Where did it go? It's lost. Here we go.
Dope Throne.
Yeah. This is off of their new album, 1312. It's the opening track called Shot Down.
Is that how many minutes it is?
Yes. This is a short one.
Oh, okay.
This is a short 3.5 minute song.
Oh,
from Dope Throne.
What a reasonable bite-sized bit to go out on. For Justin, for Blaine, for Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. See you next week on Hot Garbage.
Lock your doors, lock your windows. If you have the ability to provide additional security devices, then by all means do so.
Who wants to be next? I don't. No one else does.